This is not a pleasant subject, but it's a true subject. When you go to the doctor, the doctor don't always just say what you want to hear. I don't guess they do. They ain't supposed to. Last time I went to the doctor, when I had that thing, it's been a few years ago, for a checkup or something, and they give me one of them stress tests and all that, and I run on that little treadmill and all that, and he said, everything looks good. Boy, I was glad to hear that. But I wouldn't want him to tell me that if it wasn't true. Would you? You're going to pay a doctor to tell you you're all right when you're dying? And that's the way a preacher is. Sometimes we say things that's not what we really would like to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 18. The book of Ezekiel, back in the Old Testament, chapter number 18. Now, I want you to listen this morning, just for a few minutes, and help me now, y'all. And everybody listen and be very, very attentive. Just for a few short minutes. Y'all pray, please. Please pray. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 18. Ezekiel, chapter number 18. And look at verse number 30. Ezekiel, chapter 18, and verse number 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Now let's look at that little phrase again. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. One more time. He said you better turn from all your sins so iniquity will not be your ruin. Now, that's what I want to preach about this morning. Iniquity shall be your ruin. God is saying to Israel, you better turn so that something won't ruin you. When God wants you to turn from something, He's doing it not so He can cheat you out of having fun, but so that He can help you to have a better life. We get this idea of mean old God don't want us to have no fun. And everything's fun, He don't let us do. I seen this lady at the flea market one day. She had on a big shirt and said, everything I like is either immoral, illegal, or fattening. And that's the attitude we have is, if it's fun, God don't want us to do it. Mean old God is up there making sure we're all miserable all the time. That's not the truth. That's not the way it is. It's not God's nature. It's not God's character. He wants us to be happy. Just like your kids. Your kids think, if they don't get every little thing they want, you're mean to them. The reason you don't give your kids everything they want, because it's bad for them. They don't know it yet, but they will one day. And that's the same way God is. When God says for us not to do something, we might think it's silly now, but one day when we get to heaven and look back, we'll say, that's why it was for my own good. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. And there are two words I'll need to define. Iniquity and ruin. Bible said iniquity would be your ruin. Those two words. First of all, iniquity. What does iniquity mean? I looked, it means around 330 times in the Bible. That word is. You wouldn't think it'd be that many, would you? 330 times. It means doing wrong. It means going opposite from what God said. It's like running God's red light, or God puts up a stop sign, run a stop sign. That's what iniquity is. God says, don't cross that line, cross it. See, that's iniquity. That's what it means. Sin, doing something that is wrong. The second word is ruin. Ruin, R-U-I-N. Do you know the definition of ruin? Bible said iniquity would be your ruin. Now that word, I have to make myself say it like that because we never said it like that growing up. I've heard people say ruin. I've heard people say rent. That'll ruin you. Yeah, I got to tell me that one time. I said something about my man. He said, boy, if you do that, Danny, it'll ruin you. Now that's the way they say it up in the mountains. And I see a lot of you smiling because that's the way you still say it. I have to make myself say it right. Because you say, well, so-and-so, he done that and that running. That's what the country people say, ruined, ruined him, or runt, he's runt for life. I've heard people say it like that out in the country. But anyway, what that word means is this. Listen to this. It means a destruction. It means something that has fell and been broke to pieces. And here's the bad part. The bad part about that definition of ruin means damaged beyond repair. Can't be fixed. Like a car is totaled. It goes to the junkyard. The Bible said if we don't watch it and if we allow it, are y'all listening to me? That sin and iniquity will damage us beyond repair. You cannot be fixed. You can keep on, I'm saying, you can keep on sinning and on sinning and sinning and sinning until finally there is no remedy. It cannot be fixed when you're dead in hell, and there's people in hell this morning whose lives were ruined by sin. I want to say just a few things this morning about that. We need to learn the lessons of history. The reason God put stories in the Bible for us to read is so that we can learn and not make the same mistakes they made. Now, somebody said, very good, that the only thing men learn from history is that men never learn from history. And somebody else said, they that refuse to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them. That means if you see people making the same old mistake over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and you don't learn from it, you're condemned to do that same thing that they did. Iniquity shall be your ruin. I know that we're living in a day when people laugh and make a joke about iniquity. Oh, we all went out and partied last night, and everybody got high, and everybody got drunk, and this and that, that and everything. But I'm telling you, the Bible says it will ruin you. It will ruin you. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin me. It'll ruin my kids. It'll ruin your kids. It'll ruin my neighbor. It'll ruin your neighbor. Nobody's strong enough. Nobody's big enough. Nobody's tough enough to handle sin. It cannot be done. Let me just say a few things about it this morning. Lord, I heard that quote that Jamie Foxx, comedian Jamie Foxx, made this week. And I've been upset about it all week. He got on TV, and he come on TV on one of those dance awards show or something like that. Well, he got on TV and he got up and he said, I just thank everybody for this award. And he said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. And they put it on TV and everybody and some people got mad about it and said he shouldn't have said that. It's blasphemy. And they said, oh, he's just a joke and it didn't really mean it. I mean, well, I'll guarantee you, you could put another sort of joke on there and they wouldn't say he didn't mean it. I'll guarantee you, you could put another kind of joke on and put it against one of them guys or one of the comedians, and you'd say, oh, I didn't really mean it. Well, they'd make you apologize and fire you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. Barack Obama's not your Savior. He's not mine. He's not yours. He's not the world. Jesus Christ is. Yeah. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's people making a joke out of it now. Like heaven and God, and yeah, big man upstairs mad at me and all this stuff. The Bible said, you better repent or iniquity will be your ruin. I'm going to show you a couple of men in the Bible this morning. The first one is Cain, over in Genesis chapter number 4. Cain was the first little baby boy born into this world. Here he was. That's what they said Adam and Eve did when they went out of the Garden of Eden, raised little Cain. They had a little Cain out there, and they had that little boy, and that little boy began to grow up. His little brother Abel grew up also. Now Cain and Abel were both religious. All people are religious. There is no such thing as a person that's not religious. People say, well, I'm just not a religious person. Oh yeah, we're inherently, it's in our nature, everybody's religious. They just have a different God. Their God might be education. Their God might be money. Their God might be something. But everybody is loyal and adores and worships something or somebody. Everybody in the world worships somebody or something or their self. I talked to a guy in a convenience store at Bub Marion the other day, and I went in there like I always do and bought something. And before I left, I said, you remember, the Lord Jesus loves you. And that guy looked back at me, had some kind of an up northern accent, and he said, I love myself. I said, see you later. I got in the car, and left. I thought, man, that guy's messed up. I started to say, I don't doubt that one bit. But that's what he said. And I talked to another guy. I was doing Christmas shopping. I talked to another guy at Best Buy in Hickory. And I said, you know, the Lord loves you, man. He's coming one of these days and everything. And he said, okay. Like that. And he couldn't be mean to him because he's working. You got them people that's working, man. They got to listen to you. So witness to him. I thought, buddy, I tell you, this people, you know what the world thinks about the Lord? There's a bad spirit coming on this country. And our country's in trouble this morning. Well, we refuse to honor the God of the Bible. Well, Cain and Abel grew up. And it came to pass one day, Cain said, you know what? I'm going to offer something to the Lord. The Bible said Cain was a tiller of the ground, but Abel kept the sheep. So Abel kept all these little sheep out here, and he fed them every day, and he watched them, and he fed these sheep and led them around and stuff like that. And his brother Cain grew tomatoes and potatoes, and had corn and beans and turnips and whatever he had in the garden, had all that stuff out there. And then one day they both decided to give something to the Lord. And when they give something to the Lord, the Bible said Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. And so he took his stuff and he brought up for the Lord. And the Lord said, I don't want that. I ain't interested in that. And his brother Abel killed one of his sheep. He had the blood of the lamb. Did you hear me? He had the blood of the lamb. And he put it out there and he said, how about this, Lord? And the Bible said he respected Abel's offering. He didn't say Abel was better than Cain. He didn't say he liked Abel more than he liked Cain. All he said was he offered the right thing, he offered the wrong thing. And God rejected him and took him. So no matter what a person offers, if it's not the blood of the Lamb, God don't accept it. And so the Lord looked down and Cain went down the road saying, hallelujah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of, hallelujah, woo, I'm saved. The Lord respected my offering. And Cain looked down there and he said, who do you think you are? And he said, look, man, it ain't my fault. And Cain hated his brother. You know the old saying, you can't get blood out of a turnip. That's where it come from. And brother, listen, you know what? That blood sacrifice had to be offered. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I ain't no better than nobody else. I'm no better than anybody else in this world. But you know why I have the blessing of God on me? I offer Him the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that stands between you and hell today is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why them rock singers turn the cross upside down and wind around upside down? Because the spirit that's in them hates what happened on that cross, because they know that's the only language God understands. I'm telling you this morning, Cain hated Abel. And the Bible said he looked after him and he came to pass one day, he caught him out there and he said, Curry, I hate his guts. He thinks he's so religious and he's so holy. He ain't a bit better than I am. And Abel said, no, brother, I'm not better than you are, but I've offered the blood of the Lamb. And God took it. And buddy, he said, shut up! I don't want to hear. And grabbed something and choked his brother to death and hit him in the head. And Cain become the first murderer. And then, brother, the curse of God came on Cain. And brother, you know the story. The Bible said he was of that wicked one. And right now, this morning, as far as we know, right now, the first baby that was ever born in this world is in hell screaming for God to have mercy on him. Iniquity ruined him and put him in a place he can never get out of. You know, a lot of people have this idea, I can just go party and live it up and sin won't bother me. I read about some of the stories this week about alcohol and drugs. I don't know why people say alcohol and drugs, or it's all drugs. And they said that alcohol and drugs are the greatest trap the devil has ever set for the feet of genius. One more time. Alcohol and drugs are the greatest trap the devil has ever set for genius. That means the devil sets traps for people. And people that are real smart and real talented, like athletes and musicians and painters, anybody who's really smart and excel, alcohol and drugs. You think of the athletes, their lives have been ruined by sin. Think of the musicians, Think of them. I can give you a list of them here this morning whose lives were ruined by iniquity, alcohol, and drugs. Somebody said alcohol and drugs are a true friend on the outside, but a false friend on the inside. They'll make you feel better for a little bit, and then there's hell to pay after that. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I think of all the lives that have been ruined. My word this morning is ruined. I'm thinking about all the little kids' lives that have ruined. I think of them guys that I visit them in AA places and alcoholic places, and them guys sitting there and their face is real red and their eyes are bloodshot and they ain't got no job and their shoes are dirty and they got mud on their pants and they said, I've lost my job and I've lost my wife and I've lost my family and I've lost my respect and I've lost my money and I've lost. That's what this verse means. Iniquity shall be your ruin. When I think about the little kids that cry themselves to sleep at night, and all the little kids said, Mom, no, God, don't let Daddy hit Mommy no more. God, don't let Mommy drink no more. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm cold. God, I'm starving. When I think about all them kids and all the life, I heard about one yesterday right up here in Nebo at a sad, 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 sad situation where a woman who's probably around 30 or something like that, 30 years of age, has a young daughter, only 12 or 13, and is getting her daughter into sin to pay for her own drug habit. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is ruining their lives. Sin is ruining their lives. We look around here and see this morning, and we see everybody all dressed up, and everybody's nice looking and everything, but I'm telling you, outside these walls, and maybe in here this morning, there's people who iniquity is ruining your life, and it'll destroy your life if you don't get rid of it. Get rid of it. You can't handle it. It's like a fire. You can't leave a fire burning in your house. It'll burn your house down. You've got to put it out. You've got to get rid of it in order for God to bless you. Cain's life was ruined. Cain's life was ruined. I heard Ralph Sexton Jr. tell, he said years ago, he said his cousin, they went to his apartment. His cousin lived in some apartment over in Asheville. And he said they went to his door and he said you could hear music playing in there, but they knocked on the door and he wouldn't open the door. And they said you could kept hearing this music playing and him screaming and they was beating on the door saying, hey, I'm open the door. And finally, somebody kicked the door in. And this boy was in there, probably about 20 years old, had a butcher knife, had his mouth cutting his teeth. He was cutting his own teeth out of his mouth. Ralph said blood was all over. They called Ralph. He said, we went over there and they said, what in the world is wrong with you? And they had to hold that guy down. He was taking that knife and cutting his teeth out. And he kept saying, Alice told me to. Alice told me to. He was listening to those old Alice Cooper songs. And he said that voice come through that tape player, and said, cut your teeth out. You say, oh, that's silly preacher. No, no, you hear that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I had a boy in Marion tell me some time ago, he's 19 years old. He said, Brother Danny, I'm scared to death. I said, what's wrong? He said, I was on drugs. He said, I owned the eye. He said, I looked at myself in the mirror. And he said, I looked there and he said, I had a big 666 on my forehead in the mirror. He said, I got scared. He said, I got down and I prayed. And I'm telling you, listen, people, listen. You hear me this morning? The Bible said, repent or iniquity will be your ruin. You better turn from whatever you're doing this morning or it'll ruin you. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. The devil's bigger than anybody in here. Only Jesus can help us this morning. You say, well, preacher, how do I know the Lord can help me? Because He's more powerful than the devil. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven. You know what the Lord's going to do the devil one of these days? Bind him hand and foot and throw him in the lake of fire and he'll burn forever and ever and ever. And the only reason he ain't done it yet is because the time's not here. Hallelujah, we'll shout then. We'll rejoice then. We'll come out on top on the winning side. You want to hear a positive message? You want to hear something positive make you feel good? The Lord's coming back. He's taking us out of here. And we're going to be happy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the glory to God. Hallelujah. But in this world, in case of rain, the wars will be held in the auditorium. That's the forecast for this world. I read about somebody had this big old clock about as big as that thing there and it was broke. It was broke. Wouldn't work. And somebody put a sign on the clock that said, "Don't blame my hands. The problem lies much deeper." Ain't nothing wrong with them hands on that clock. It was inside. Something gone, battery gone dead. Power unplugged. See, when people do stuff, you know, you hear about people assaulting somebody. You hear about somebody, I heard somebody the other day, was going to pull a gun on somebody. And they said, "Don't blame my hands. The problem lies much deeper." I read about apples. Did you know you can take an apple, and this apple, it's perfect on the outside and shiny and everything, and bite into it, and there's a live worm? How'd that thing get in there? There's no hole. There was no hole for that thing to drill down in there and get in that apple. How was it? Hey, you ever wondered that? You open it, and there it is. It's alive. And what happened was, before there ever was an apple, an insect laid an egg on that flower, or that bloom, or that blossom, and it stays in that thing and turns into that seed and grows that apple. It was in that the outside environment had nothing to do with it. The wind, the waves, the rain had nothing to do with it. It was in that thing before that thing was ever born. And that's the way sin is in us. That's the way sin is. You're out there and you say, "Well, my goodness, I raised my kid all his life to do it." And then look, it was already in him when he got here. People say, "Well, their environment, if we can just change everybody's environment." You can't change environment and change the heart of a sinner. It's born in us. It's inside of you. You've got to get it washed out by the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to get help. You got to get help. I read about a boy down in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I don't know if you've ever been to Stone Mountain, Georgia. It's right outside of Atlanta. But if you've ever flew into Atlanta, you can look over there and the ground's flat and there's this big old giant round like a mountain just popped up like somebody just stuck it there. It's amazing. And it's just round just like a big old rock. That's what it is. A big old rock. Humongous. And it's got a curve like this. And they said there's a boy got out on that thing and all of his friends were watching him. And he said when he did, he kept doing like this and doing like this and doing like this. And you think, "Well, I'm all right. Take one more little step. Well, I'm all right. Take one more little step. Well, I'm all right. Take one more little step." That's the way sin will do you. You think, "I'm all right so far. I done this. I'm all right so far. I done this. I'm all right so far. Nothing ain't happened. Nothing ain't happened. I'm doing pretty good so far." But about that time, that curve, you take one step too far. And he said he screamed and people stood by here horrified and watched him tumble down to his death down at the bottom. That's happened to several people because they underestimated that curve and their balance. You see, when you're right here, it ain't like you just take a step on this level ground. Every step, the curve's more, more, more. And he's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what sin will do. That's what sin will do. It'll get you in trouble. I read about a man up in Canada in 1909. His name was Sandy McIntyre. He sold what is the now famous mine in Canada, gold mine, for $25 for liquor. He was so hard up for a drink, he sold that mine for $25. Years later, he was sitting, finishing up his life, crying, sitting in bars, drinking himself to death, and his mine had produced $230 million worth of gold. He sold it for $25 for a drink of liquor. Years later, he's sitting in a bar drinking himself to death and his mind made $230 million. I can think of many young people who have so much potential and could have a great life. I know boys, God could use them. They could be blessed. They could be making money, driving a nice car, living in a nice house, but they will not leave that sin alone and it destroys them. Destroys them. A football player can't handle it. You can't handle it. If the boxer can't handle it, you can't handle it. If the movie star can't handle it, you can't handle it. If the preachers can't handle it, you can't handle it. I can't either. The biggest mistake you'll ever make is thinking, my little sin's all right. Me and the Lord got this little deal worked out. No, you don't have no deal worked out with the Lord. Listen, if you're not doing what the Bible said, you don't have no deal worked out with God. People say, well, the Lord, no, yeah, He sure does. And He ain't bending His Word that much for you. You ain't no exception. I'm no exception. He ain't going to cut you no slack. Iniquity shall be your ruin. I worry about some of y'all here this morning. I'll be honest with you. I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock praying, worrying about some of you people sitting right here this morning. And I said, God, if you don't help them, there's nothing I can do. And I had this thought on my heart. Iniquity shall be your ruin. If I was you here this morning, I'd get out of my seat and I'd get down here on this altar and I'd say, Lord, I'm not going to let it ruin me. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's moving. Nobody's walking out. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Bow your head, please.